Good morning, Utah. Good morning to the people of Utah. Good morning to the people of planet Earth. This is the Planetary Status Report, and the time right now is Mountain Standard Time. Mountain Standard Time, just after 5 a.m. 5 a.m. on April the 9th, 2021. 5 a.m. Are you up yet? Are you out of bed? Are you getting out of bed? Wake up, Utah. Wake up, Utah. It's time to get out of your cognitive slumber. It is Friday, April the 9th, 2021, just after 5 a.m., Utah. Do you know what Utah means in the ancient languages of the Hopi? In the ancient languages of the Hopi Native Americans, Utah means the people that stand upright in the wind that is filled with rattlesnakes. In the language of the Navajo, Utah means the people that drink beer that, tastes okay, but it won't get you drunk. In the language of the Mayan people, Utah means, oh boy, Utah means, I don't think I should talk about this. Yes, in the language of the Mayan Indians, Utah means boring. Good morning, Utah. This is the Planetary Status Report, and if you're listening on shortwave radio, then I should be accessible via the vehicle of shortwave radio at around 3 a.m. UTC on Sunday and Monday morning, or if you prefer, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Saturday and Sunday nights. If you're listening to WRMI, out of Miami on 5950 kilohertz. On shortwave, the frequency that even reaches Utah. Utah is built behind an ancient galactic barrier. Utah is protected by the shield of Grumpulus, built by the ancient demon knights who hung out at that bar, you know the one I'm talking about, off of State Street. Utah exists beyond the dome, the great dome that covers Utah and protects it from the outside world. Utah is protected by laser beams and missiles and particle beams. Utah is a place for people to hug and shake hands. Utah's nice. Good morning, Utah. That's right. If you're listening on shortwave, though, it's probably like 11 p.m. or something. And so, ergo, not the morning. And if you're wondering, does that imply this is recorded, Mr. Sullivan, the Planetary Status Report? Well, yes, unless you think I built an Einstein-Rosen bridge. Unless you believe I built a wormhole that connects Friday to some date in the future, this today to some date in the future, that's even unknown to me, since this particular, you know, testification, this particular screed, this rant, this Howard Beale for the masses isn't quite scheduled yet. How could such a dialable, adjustable wormhole exists whereby I could be talking to you live, but you're in the future. Can you pick up the phone and call me and tell me what to invest in? But don't worry about picking up the phone. Anywho, if you like the show, there are show notes available for every show based upon the date of the broadcast, so always check that. But if you like the show and you want to check out the show notes, go to dfgtc.org/show notes. And if you like the podcast, and, you know, full disclosure, this is the broadcast podcast. Some of my older podcasts contain a lot of dirty words. So if you like the podcast, feel free to go to iamsully.com for all of the non-radio podcasts. But like I said, it contains explicit content. And if you are interested in any of the stuff I write or any of the other crazy stuff I do, you can just go to dfgtc.org, or you can go to igluluau.com. Igluluau.com is a blog that me and my friend Jim work on, and there's lots of interesting stuff there. And if you want to fund this broadcast podcast out of Utah, if you want to fund this brand new Utahian, you can go to PayPal. You can go to www.paypal.com, paypal.me/Dr. Freckles. Yes, Dr. Freckles, that's the key. That's the key to paying me on PayPal. There's no space between the words, though. And if you want to tell me that you're upset with me, if you'd like to report something, if you have a specific question you would like me to answer on the air, if you're listening to me someplace out there, maybe you're listening in Africa or France or Robot France, maybe you're listening in Ireland, and somehow these shortwave signals are reaching Ireland. That's not possible, but is it? Ireland is light years away from where I live now. These signals won't reach Dublin until the year 2156. These radio signals won't reach Dublin, Ireland until sometime in the 22nd or the 23rd century. The future. This is a quote from Dr. Freckles. Anywho, if you want to email me about anything, if you have a question, just email me. That's me@iamsully.com. That's right. If you take the link that sends me to my podcast sources and you put an ME in front of it with an @, you can email me a question and I will answer it on the air. And if you want my raw podcast, you just go to dfgtc.org/mp3. And all the raw podcasts are there, all the MP3 files. You can download them. You can program your robot with them. You can create a cybernetic version of me. That's okay. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. The future. And this quote has to do with the future. You can't run from the future. All you can do is face it bravely. You can't run from the future. You can just face it bravely. It sounds simplistic and kind of dumb, but one of the things that, you know, one of the traps we sometimes fall into is this idea that we can pretend the future isn't there. And another trap we fall into is thinking we can radically disrupt the future. I believe in free will. I think we all have choices we can make. Do I believe my free will will impact the rotation of the Earth? Do I believe my free will impact the tides? Do I believe my free will change the nature of water? No. Okay? I'm not Jesus Christ. I don't have the power to change things just by thinking about them. Yes, it's true. I have free will. So do you. But the fact is, we are often amidst forces that are so big that any amount of individual free will is kind of unlikely to impact them. So, in reality, having the free will doesn't change very much. It's not to say that we can't make choices, we shouldn't make choices, we shouldn't try. That's not the point. But in knowing that there are limits to what will happen when we try, knowing there are limits to what will happen in those moments, knowing that the future itself is going to happen no matter what we do. You know, no matter where we go, if I were to stay in Seattle or move to Utah or even travel to the edge of the known universe in the spaceship, the future is still going to be there. And it's always going to be facing you head on. Next topic. So I have been commenting on Utah beer, and before I go too far into this next topic, I want to read an article. This article comes from utahbeernews.com, and of course, if you're listening on shortwave, you can just go to dfgtc.org/shownotes, and you'll find the link right there if you go to the right date. Remember, check the date on the show notes. Anywho, this article comes from utahbeernews.com, and it looks like it was published on October the 31st, 2019. And the author of this entry, this article, this blog entry, is Tim Haran, H-A-R-A-N, title, A New Era for Utah Beer, 5% brews to hit tap handles, grocery store shelves. Wow, 5%. It's not a Halloween trick. In fact, Utah craft beer drinkers will go to bed tonight knowing a special treat will be waiting for them November the 1st. That's when 5% beer will be available on draft and in grocery and convenience stores throughout the state. Utah's long-standing so-called 3.2 law will be nothing but a ghost when the clock strikes midnight. Breweries are excited to be able to bring more variety to the consumer, says Nicole DeCow, executive director of the Utah Brewers Guild, which represents the state's 32 craft breweries. There's always going to be headaches with alcohol policy in Utah, but changes bring new possibilities, and I think that's what people are excited about. I do too. For the past 86 years, only 3.2% alcohol by weight beer, which is 4% alcohol by volume, a more common measure, has been allowed to be sold in retail locations. State-run liquor stores sell higher alcohol, heavy beer products. But beginning November the 1st, the state's grocery and convenience stores will be allowed to sell beer containing up to 5% ABV. Bars, restaurants, and other spots with sufficient licensing will be able to sell it on draft. This is a step in the right direction, says Chad Hopkins, brewer at Hopkins Brewing Company in Sugar House. It's hard to brew most beers to style with the 4% limitation. A proper pale ale needs to be at that 5% ABV mark. That little bump in alcohol really helps the malt backbone and hop profile pop in some styles. Wow, that's a great set of words for alcoholism, Chad. Euphoric anticipation is enveloping Utah's craft beer community. And why not? November the 1st promises to be a historic day. I will let you guys read the rest of this one if you want to. I don't know. I think probably, you know, alcohol's bad for you. You shouldn't drink too much. That's really the simple answer. And as far as the whole Utah beer being 5%, you know what? I was looking into this the other day. A lot of the beers you buy are around 5 or 6%. It's really not that big a deal. But, you know, it is what it is. Utah beer. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Getting drunk in Utah is hard work. Next topic. So, yeah, I don't want to talk about this. This one's a little bit dark. Maybe I should talk about it. So, I was reviewing something on social media the other day, and someone made the comment that if they keep saying the stuff they're saying, if they keep making comments like they're making comments, if they keep making nasty, mean comments, they'll get on a list. You know, like a list of people, like the no-fly list, for example. Or like this background check system they want to have for guns, you know. You'll be on some list. And I'm not really sure what to make of all this. I kind of think that a lot of this is related to just plain threats, you know, a lot of crap, promises and threats and crap. But yeah, I guess if you're afraid of being on a list, fine. We're all on a list, you know. Like Dr. Freckles says, it's one big list and we are all on it. So I wouldn't really worry about the list right now. If you want my opinion on that thingy. It is. It's one big list, and we are all on it. Next topic has to do with that whole promises and threats thing. So right now, the Biden administration is issuing a lot of executive orders. And just so we can have some context on this, you should research all the executive orders. We all should. I mean, I probably should. Well, if I still believe voting made a difference or I thought there was a rule of law, I would probably go and research all of the executive orders from every president of the United States. But actually, yeah, Biden seems to be issuing a lot of these things right now around gun control and, you know, other types of stuff, social justice stuff, you know, a lot of ridiculous stuff. And I don't believe these things are going to happen. Like, I don't believe an executive order from Biden is going to do anything with gun control. I don't. I think that it's, again, a kind of a kabuki dance. But for the most part, it's just designed to stress people out and make them crazy. It's more of this, you know, tabletop magic, this hand magic. You know, if you keep your eyes on his face, you don't really see what he's doing. What he's doing, and when I say him, President Biden, I don't think there's anything going on inside of his head. So I should say the people that are pulling the strings. But what they're doing is they're just trying to make people angry. They're just trying to stress people out. They're trying to create more of a sense of fear, more threats, more promises, more things they will give you, more things they will take away. It's kind of like the reparations thing or stimulus. None of this is ever going to make you whole. I don't care who you are. You could actually be somebody who can trace their lineage back to slavery. If they ever give you money, it won't help you. In fact, it'll probably go to somebody other than you. And that third party, that ombudsman, you know, in some sense, but not really, that person will end up divvying it out. And what you'll find out is you'll get a few bucks in the mail every month, and that will be reparations. That's reality. That's the same level of reality as people coming to your door and breaking into your home and taking guns. Okay, I keep going back to this point, but I'm not sure people really understand. This is not the Soviet Union or Germany in 1933. This is way more like Berlin 45 or the Soviet Union in 1993. Okay, for all the threats, for all the Sturm und Drang, for all the fear, for every silly executive order they issue, they are afraid. They are acting afraid. These trauma monkeys, these psyops, they're getting dumber and dumber and dumber. And they know this. They know that eventually even the people in places like Seattle are just going to take off those muzzles and start living like human beings again. They know this. They're running out of time. So they issue these fear statements. That's what these are. These aren't executive orders. These are little conjuring spells. They are conjuring spells to create fear. They are conjuring spells to create drama and confusion and anger and hatred. But there is no juice to do the things they think they can do or say they can do. And yeah, I think it's possible they could kill a bunch of us, but I don't know how easy that's going to be either, given that my Lord Jesus Christ is watching over the world. And this is something my friend Jim has pointed out, and we shouldn't really, you know, dismiss it. That for all their plans, even maybe their desire to have a nuclear war, the final arbiter is going to be my Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord in heaven. That will be the final decision maker on whether or not they are allowed to kill everybody. So yes, it's true. President Biden is issuing creepier and creepier executive orders every single day. You should ignore them. You should ignore the state, okay? Ignore the state. Avoid the state. Treat it like a saltwater crocodile, okay? Yes, it's big and it's dangerous, but it's not necessarily a great chess player. You need to avoid the state, you need to ignore the state, and we need to turn off the fear channel. All of us, including yours truly, Dan. We need to disconnect from it. The future is coming, whether we like it or not. And whatever it is, we're going to have to face it. Could be good, could be bad, could be mushroom clouds. I really don't know. But I do know God's in charge. So I do know there's a plan. I know that they will tell you that they can make everybody get vaccinated. I'm going to let you on a little secret. They can't. I know they're going to tell you they have the technology to control you, to control everything you do. I'm going to let you on a little secret. They can't. They can't. Even if you don't believe in God like I do, even if you simply recognize you have dignity and freedom and a heart and a soul. They can't take those things from you. They can kill you, they can beat you, they can torture you, they can poison you from the sky. But they cannot take away your will or who you are. They cannot do that to you. They cannot do that to me. And I just don't think they have the juice left, guys. I know that there are people, especially in the alt movement, who want to describe the super state that's going to take over. There's no juice. The tank is reading empty. What you're seeing is Baghdad Bob. Except for this time, it's our government. That's way closer to the truth than some cabal that's going to magically turn us all into cybernetic robots. We need to turn off the fear, brothers and sisters, and it's not easy. But we got to do it. Ugh. Although, these are the times we're in. I'm going to read an article that's going to seem like a contradiction to what I just said, but you know something? I'm going to read it anyways because these are the times we're living in. This article was in Newsweek magazine on April the 7th. That's just a couple days ago, brothers and sisters. This article showed up in Newsweek, and the author is Adam Piore, 4721. Here's the headline. Can the blood of young people slow aging? Silicon Valley has bet billions it will. And I read on. The Spanish firm Grifols helped set off a kerfuffle last year when it, along with other firms, offered nearly double the going price for blood donations for a COVID-19 treatment trial. Brigham Young University in Idaho had to threaten some enterprising students with suspension to keep them from intentionally trying to contract COVID-19. The trial failed, however, and now the Barcelona-based firm is hoping to extract something far more valuable from the plasma of young volunteers. A set of microscopic molecules that could reverse the process of aging itself. Earlier this year, Grifols closed on a $146 million deal to buy Alkahest, a company founded by Stanford University neuroscientist Tony Weiss-Carey, who, along with Saul Vieta, revealed in scientific papers published in 2011 and 2014 that the blood from young mice had seemingly miraculously restorative effects on the brains of elderly mice. The discovery adds to a hot area of inquiry called geroscience that, and I quote, seeks to understand, you know, I'm going to stop right here, guys. You can read the rest of this article yourself. You can go to dfgtc.org/show notes. And you can click on the appropriate link for the date you're listening on shortwave, or you can just go to the notes you found the podcast info. Up to you, buddy. In either case, but yeah, you can read the rest of this yourself. You know, it's funny, back in 1980, my parents would have said, yes, using the blood of children to live longer would be a sign of the end times. I actually think if someone had said to my parents in the year 1980, if you found out that it was suddenly a thing to use the blood of young people to live longer, I actually think my parents would have said, okay, that'll never happen, not in America, and if it did happen, it would be a sign of the end times. Parents today, not all parents, there are some good ones out there, but a lot of parents today, how can I harvest my children for cash? I hear that Peter Thiel guy wants some blood. A lot has changed. I understand the fear of death. Every person alive, understands the fear of death. Every single person that's ever lived with a consciousness and that's thought about their existence has had a moment of trepidation, realizing, holy smokes, holy smokes, my connection to this mortal coil is tenuous. It's a tiny string. As I drift through existence, at any moment I could fade out. As I travel the ways of life in this wandering abyss of what for and what's not, somebody could come along with a lead pipe and bash my head out. That's right, at any point we can die. That is reality. No one will live forever. If your name is Ray Kurzweil and you've been telling people for decades that you're going to live forever, the answer to that is no. Nobody lives forever. Nobody does. I mean, I believe in God, so does my soul continue on? I believe that's true. But this physical body, this chunk of flesh, it's wonderful. But it falls apart and almost immediately. And with all the toxicity and all the poisons and all the things we've done to our environment, and when I say we, I don't think people like us wanted that. But it was done for us. It was a choice made for us. For all these choices made for us that have poisoned the world and salted the earth, the reality doesn't change. The very moment you're born, you start to die. Healthy, not healthy, good genetics, not good genetics, parents who have money for food that contains vitamins. It doesn't matter. We all die. You could be rich, you could be poor. And if you want to dig deeper into this essential reality, please, by all means, read the book of Ecclesiastes. Okay? Of any book in the Old Testament, I could recommend, especially to the non-Christian, to any non-Christians out there, especially those who like to poo-poo the Bible, read the book of Ecclesiastes, not just the part they read at weddings and funerals. Okay? That part is so out of context. If you read the whole book, you'll get it. You'll get it when you're done. Okay? Everybody dies. Everybody dies, and you could have all the baby's blood and all the young people's blood in the world, and you will still die. It doesn't matter. And this is something that Satan won't tell you, or any of the people that work for Satan. They won't tell you that it doesn't really matter. Your physical body will die, and if you give up your soul, that means you're just dead. You know? There are some Christians who actually believe that hell is basically non-existence, that you simply blink out of existence. There is no heaven or hell for you. You simply cease to exist. There are some Christians who believe in that sort of medieval slash classic torment theory. I don't know the truth, and I also don't think this is salvation critical, okay? Non-existence, I guess, would be pretty bad. You know, I guess, really. But it seems pretty painless in a way. But whatever the truth is, this physical body doesn't last. Let's get over it. And let's at least have the courage to question things like whether or not we should be using the blood of young people to extract compounds. You could say, well, Dan, all they're doing is taking blood donations and extracting those compounds. I get what you're saying, but you should dig deeper. Because what you're going to find is the truth if you dig deeper. What they're telling you is one story. What I'll tell you is a different story, and you check the facts, you research it yourself, okay? The different story is powerful, evil people have been drinking the blood of children for thousands of years. They have been consuming the blood of children for millennia. That is the truth. This is not a new idea. This is not a new conception. Yes, yes, yes. They've prettied it up with a lot of, advanced genetics and protein chemistry, but It's not new to say that you can consume the young to live longer. In fact, that's almost as old a story as the oldest profession, boxing. Or coyote wrestling, though. We all know it's prostitution. Coyote prostitution. Next topic. So I have a simple thought experiment for you. And if you're a big supporter of gun control, you'll probably get upset, but I have a thought experiment. I just want you to put it in your head and just ask yourself some basic questions, okay? This is a simple Gedanken. And Gedanken is just a fancy German word for, you know, thought experiment. Let's say the government decided to do a gun buyback. Buyback guns. You've seen those before where cities like New York City will do a gun buyback. Buy back your gun. But, you know, when usually when they do it, and I think it's because they're not totally stupid, they usually cap it at like a few hundred bucks. Like, and sometimes I think it's like 50 bucks. Like, it's almost nothing to buy back your gun. And I remember seeing these pictures of the you know, Australian gun confiscation and all the guns that were basically being put into the chipper, so to speak. They all look really shitty. They all look really crappy. It seems to me that the Aussies who had common sense, they didn't really turn in their quote-unquote guns. They turned in their registered guns and probably their crappy registered guns. The other ones went missing or were bought on the black market. Wow. But let's say that as a result of one of President, no, excuse me, Dr. Jill Biden's husband's executive orders, because we have to respect Dr. Jill Biden's husband. Yeah. Okay. If as a result of President Biden's executive order, somebody were to say, do the following. Because keep in mind, guys, the Federal Reserve can print as much money as it wants to. So as crazy as this is going to sound, don't discount it. It could happen. And if it does happen, it's just going to be more proof that the system is falling apart. But let's just say that for the sake of argument, they say for $10,000 per gun, $10,000 per gun, if you turn it in, $10,000 per gun, if you turn it in. Imagine, for the sake of argument, that the government said, we will give you 10 grand for every gun you turn in. And again, you know, it's not going to be registered guns. There's no way they could check this. There's no way they could properly evaluate this. No offense to all the gun registration people out there, but the system doesn't work that great. It doesn't. It's like the Metro bus signs in Seattle, the ones that tell you it's June 2017 in September of 2019. So you get bus schedules from 2 years ago. That's government, my friends. That's reality. That's techno-utopia reality in Seattle. And tell me how they're going to check the registrations while you're getting your cash for guns. So no, the Federal Reserve can print as much money as it wants to. And so imagine they said $10,000 per gun. Which one of these is more likely? And this is your thought experiment. Is it likely that people with guns will turn in their real guns, the guns that actually can do damage, the guns that are dangerous? Or is it more likely they'll do what probably happened in Australia and probably happened in the UK and probably happens every single time there is a quote-unquote gun confiscation or gun buyback, which means they'll just turn in their crappy guns. Like the pictures you see on Twitter, where the New York City cops are so proud of finding an old beat-up 22 revolver from 1956, Bo Blimp Doc. You know? Hey, look, we're the New York City police, and we just found this old rusty thing that if we fired it would probably blow off our hand. If it were powerful enough. So which is more likely? That people who are serious people, turn in their serious weapons for 10 grand apiece, or is it more likely they just gather up crappy guns and maybe build some crappy slam shotguns out of, you know, not even high grade, but low grade steel pipe? Which is more likely? They take their really expensive Heckler and Koch, you know, Heckler and Koch HK, their really expensive Colt, you know, 308 carbine, their really expensive stuff. They turn that in, like their Barrett, for example, their Barrett semi-auto 50 cal. Are they going to turn in their Barrett semi-auto 50 cal, or are they just going to turn in a crappy slam shotgun they built, you know, from stuff they bought at Home Depot? I'm thinking they turn in the Home Depot gun for 10 grand. Now you'd say, Dan, this would never happen. This sounds crazy. Crazier than what? Crazier than what? That's what I'm saying. At this point in time, if you're going to say that's crazy, well, especially if you're wearing two masks on a daily basis, please walk away. If you live in Seattle and want to call this crazy, please keep sniffing the glue you sniff. Yes, it sounds insane, but these are crazy times. And here's the point. Let's say the government doesn't do this. Let's say the government simply conspires with insurance companies to make owning a quote-unquote registered gun impossible. Let's say they just do that. Here's what's going to happen. All those registered guns are going to go away. There's going to be boating accidents. There's going to be fire accidents. There's going to be accidents with smelters, you name it. Giant pits of acid. You know, probably even stories that involve grizzly bear. The grizzly bear ate my Uzi. The grizzly bear ate my Glock. I tossed that empty Glock at the grizzly bear and it swallowed it whole. That's what drove it away. If, because that's more likely. They're not going to do $10,000 buybacks. That's crazy. But what they are going to do is they're going to make it impossible to own a gun, quote unquote, legally. But what is really going to happen? Well, what's going to happen is what always happens. You're going to have a black market. You're going to have a black market for ammunition. You're going to have a black market for projectiles. You're going to have a black market for rifles and handguns. And frankly, probably stuff way more advanced than you would ever get at Dick's Sporting Goods or Cabela's, okay? If they do what they want to do, according to these executive orders, within 5 years, I'll be buying 10 megawatt rail guns behind Chevron. I'll be buying rail guns that can fire a .177 pellet at 20,000 feet per second and can fire five of them per second and has a magazine that holds 1,000 of them. This is reality. Within 5 years, we'll be buying rail guns if they decide that the best solution to the gun problem is to go after people that, in general, don't want to harm each other. They just own guns. Check out the stats for legal gun owners. Okay, I don't believe in legal versus illegal gun owners, but here's the deal. Check out the numbers they claim are the numbers. In general, people that own guns legally, you know, correctly, they don't do the things that people claim they're doing. They don't commit horrific violent acts. But on the other hand, we've been given a lot of show ponies recently. We've been given a lot of weird MK Ultra types, you know, different Monarch program kiddos and old people with guns who've done crazy things. So I'm not going to convince you that good gun owners don't do anything. There's no convincing. I'm simply going to state a fact. Prohibition leads to black markets. A little prohibition leads to a little black market. A lot leads to more. So this whole idea that they can do this by inches and avoid the black market, that's called crazy. For all the billions, and maybe at this point in real dollars, maybe nominal dollars, who knows, but for all the billions, if not trillions, that have been spent on the war on drugs in the last half century, what has really happened? Have we stopped drugs? Are there no drugs? I could go out right now and buy cocaine, and I live in nowhere, Utah. I could go out right now and buy crystal meth, and I live in nowhere, Utah. I could buy any drug I want to, and I live in the middle of nowhere. Tell me again what prohibition does. And what's really funny is if you corner a liberal on this and then mention abortion, because one of the famous little scare monkeys of the abortion people is the back alley abortion. But I'm sorry, it takes way more skill to probably do that without killing a person than it does to make a slam shotgun. It does. An ordinary guy or woman or gal can make a slam shotgun out of stuff you can buy at Home Depot. Yeah, you could probably have a back alley abortion business, but people would die and then you would be labeled a murderer. So here's the deal, folks. For the liberals who say, well, Dan, no, liberal, if you're going to use that back alley abortion nonsense on me, or simply ignore the fact that there's been a war on drugs for 50 years and really longer, no, be quiet. You don't get it. It's not about your feelings. You might have terrible feelings about guns. It's not about your feelings. It never was. It's about the simple fact that every time governments crack down on something, if people want it, they will find a way to get it. It's not complicated. Every single time. Next topic. Might be the last topic. I was going to talk about PCR tests, but I'll leave you to read the link. Again, if you're listening to this on shortwave, if you're listening to the Planetary Status Report on shortwave, you're probably listening to 5950 kilohertz, and you're likely, yeah, you're listening to WRMI out of Miami, and we are on 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Saturday, Sunday night, as the Planetary Status Report for 60 minutes. But we're also, according to the clock, 3 a.m. UTC, Sunday, Monday morning. I believe that's how it works. So anywho, if you're out there listening and you're interested in the notes for this podcast broadcast, you can go to dfgtc.org/show notes. Make sure you pick the date of the broadcast, or at least around about that date, to get the right notes. So you can read about the PCR stuff. You know, clearly the PCR test is being used incorrectly, but I don't think that's the answer. I think it's being used correctly to give incorrect results. I think they knew right from the beginning what the PCR test would do in terms of the COVID, that it would be nothing but false positives. And that's what it's been. For the most part, the PCR test has been a false positive machine. You can research this yourself. I'm sure CNN will tell you, no, the PCR. But you really, the World Health Organization, the CDC, and other groups are coming out and kind of admitting this now. You know, just in the nick of time, after how many people have committed suicide, after how many lives have been destroyed, just in the nick of time, they're admitting that maybe the PCR test was flawed, and maybe even the lockdowns were a bad idea. Bo Blimp Doc. Yeah. Next topic, Bo Blimp Doc. Next topic is a testification. Every once in a while on the Planetary Status Report, I will testify to the ethereal realm. I will talk about those connections I have, those tenuous connections to Tomorrowland. I will testify. Thank you. Jorgen Ho made the scorn bard late. His able master killed the dead maidens when the sun rose, and the clouds parted, and a beam of light came down and pierced the heart of the harlot queen Tornitha. So we have heard in the realm 45 annals. Queen Tornitha was strong. She had a very powerful voice. She drove a crystal Rolls Royce. She flew in the skies above. Queen Tornitha was filled with love, according to the realm 45 annals of eastern Utah. I traveled to the caverns in Utah, where old crows buried their fear. I saw a Navajo shaman. He gave me his mojo, and I stole his bike. After 32 years on the road, I was cursed by the rat hordes and left in the desert to die near Provo. As was stated by Bishop Tlock during the first great meeting of the last great cathedral, you are a brethren of the coyote. You are sister to the Smeagol Hawk. You are the character witness to the nature of the great chasm. You live in the tunnels. You survive on the crumptus grease. Utopia was granted to fire angels. Utopia was granted to fire angels. They led their swarthy fun clan down the tubes and then tossed the cats into the swamps near Bryce City. After the lame hunters took their scraps, a coyote general made merry with whores. The coyote general was named Tlimbus. He had the power of the sacred sight. He could see beyond the veil. He communicated with crows that lived on Pluto, which is no longer a planet, but a Kuiper Belt object. Thank you, Neil the Ass Tyson. He had power over things that were wide and large. He was the Coyote King at one point. "Tarry not," yelled the blind priest. "Tarry not," yelled the blind priest. He had the eyes that glowed and the nose that was red. All the Wumbly folk, all the Wumbly folk followed his lead, and he took them to the caverns near your nose. They were tied to rocks and tossed into the sea. And the priest drank blood wine by the dim fire of midnight, when eagle dukes ruled the mountaintops. Utah was a different place back then. Utah was a place of the animals that crawled on the earth and flew in the sky. Utah was a place of rock worms and time cockroaches. Thank you. So I hope you guys have a great weekend. This has been, as stated, a service, a testification. This has been the Planetary Status Report. To all the people out there, all my friends and neighbors, the ones traveling out there. For all the folks that have horses and cows, I hope you guys are happy about it. For those of you who own chickens and raise chickens and have fresh eggs, I hope you enjoy a nice egg breakfast. And if you're listening on shortwave, I hope you're out there listening and saying to yourself, how the heck did I come across this? Well, I'll tell you how. The magic of the radio world, the magic of the ionosphere, and the magic of shortwave signals bouncing around and around and around, sometimes around the planet, sometimes until infinity. Utah stretches across the great spaces between the here and the now. Utah was written to the future and the past. It was meant to be a signpost labeled up ahead, something weird. Utah is peopled by creatures and animals of all shapes and sizes. Utah has a great salt lake, and nobody, even now, at this very moment, knows what's in there. Nobody knows what's crawling around that great salt lake. Could be nothing. Nothing to worry about. Could be something. Could be that all of the failure and sadness and darkness, could be that all the fear and trauma, could be that all of the strange weasels of our broken unconscious live in the Great Salt Lake. Perhaps the Great Salt Lake is the rebuke and it is waiting. Something is in there and it is waiting. It's waiting to remind you what's up. You gonna drink that baby's blood to live forever? You gonna live that life of demon dance? You gonna wrestle coyotes for $50 a day? What are you gonna do, Utah? What are you gonna do when that thing crawls right out of the sea? What are you gonna do, Utah, when the great beast rises from Salt Lake? When it crawls up out of the great Salt Lake and stands on the great shores of Salt Lake City? What are you gonna do, Utah, when the people of Ogden have been destroyed by a giant flood? What are you gonna do, Utah, when the mountains crack open and all the beasts come crawling out of the cracks? What are you gonna do, Utah? You gonna have some Utah-style beer? You gonna get some of that 5%? Some of that stuff, you know, that you used to only be able to get at the liquor store? Is that what you're gonna do, Utah? Because if you are, have a nice weekend.